Few things change your life as much as having a baby. You start preparing for the arrival. Many of you can remember what you did. You read up about it. You get books. You buy books on parenting and on babies. You talk about anyone about it with anyone you can talk about it with. You start buying the baby clothes. You get the room ready, the cot ready. But you don't yet know how you're going to feel when that baby arrives. And then that lovely little bundle comes home. At first you feel exhaustion because of the interrupted nights. At least that was my experience, and worse for Hamara. But there's also that tenderness of being able to hold your new little baby and to feel their tiny hand grasp round your finger. There's the thrill in your heart when that baby first smiles at you and learns to play and starts learning. And as they grow older, they start doing so many more things. And over the years, a powerful and unique bond forms between the parent and the child. It forms with emotions that run deep. And however close or far apart a parent and a child may be, this bond, this relationship is one that goes on for life. And over the years, there'll be great times together, there may be difficult times, and there are mostly ordinary times together. But the bond is still there between the parent and their child. And through it all, God is teaching you something, teaching you about his relationship with you. Chris and Sarah will be teaching JJ many things. But through JJ, they can also learn. They can learn more about God's love. Now, of course, human parents are but a pale reflection of our Father God. Though Chris and Sarah have promised to be an example to JJ, none of us can be a perfect model to our children. Nonetheless, that bond that we feel with our children helps us to appreciate something of God's love. Here's a verse from the first hymn that we sang, which is from Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who love him, those who fear him. In other words, the compassion that a parent feels for their child is to teach that parent something of what God's love for them is like. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And this compassion is what runs through the parable of the lost son that Jesus told. The Father loves his sons, just like God loves us. The Father wants his sons to be close to him, just like God wants us to be close to him. The Father knows that the well-being of his sons is tied up with their relationship to him, just as our well-being, both here in this life and for eternity, is tied up in our relationship with God. So we're going to look at these two sons. Firstly, we're going to consider the son who left but then returned to his father. The son who left but then returned to his father. This story resonates with us, doesn't it? We feel the father's shock and pain when one day the younger son comes up to him and demands his share of the estate. Father, he says, give me my share of the estate. We're not told what the father said, but all we read is he divided his property between them. It's as if the younger son had wished that his father had already died so that he could get the inheritance. Once he has received his share of the estate, the younger son takes that money And he goes away. He goes far away to a distant country. He doesn't want to work for his father anymore. He doesn't want to be near his father anymore. He wants a life. And as far as he is concerned, the best life that he can have is as far away from his father as he can get. Now, perhaps for a time, the younger son did feel more alive than he'd ever felt before. After all, he's got all this money. No doubt he would have had many friends who were quite happy to help him spend his money. But from his father's point of view, it was as if his son had died. And his father says later on, "This son of mine was dead." There's no communication. No text in those days. He wouldn't have wanted to. There was no affection anymore. The father was left with an aching heart for his son that had left. And Jesus captures something of what it means to God when people cut him out of their lives. Jesus also shows how life begins to fall apart when you run away from God. Indeed, you may end up doing those things that you once despised. You see, this younger son did not leave his father's home in order to feed pigs. That was not on his mind when he left home. But that's what he ends up doing. It was shocking. And of course, Jesus speaking to a Jewish audience, pigs regarded as the most unclean of animals. And here is this younger son, and he's reduced to feeding pigs. And he would even eat the food that the pigs are eating. The people who cut God out of their lives may end up doing things that once they despised. He never set out to feed pigs, no more than people set out to be unkind or dishonest or greedy. In his misery, the younger son remembers his father's house. He remembers the servants. They had plenty of food to eat. And here is he, starving. And Jesus says he came to his senses. And he decided to return. What a change of heart we see in this younger son. He's not going to make any more demands of his father. He comes with a humble apology. Listen to his words. Verse 18. "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" That's the heart that God longs to see from each one of us. Perhaps you're here today, and if honest, you feel pretty miserable because you've cut God out of your life. And you'd be the first to admit that you've done wrong. Maybe even ended up doing things that once you despised. But Jesus shows us here that God is willing and ready to welcome you back. "While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him." That's the welcome that the younger son receives as he returns to his father. And Jesus tells this to teach us that is the love that God has for each one who will come back to him. And Jesus is showing that God is not just ready to welcome people back, but to give them a new life. What does the father do? "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate." It was a new beginning, a new life for this younger son. And that is what God is willing to give to any and everyone who come back to him. A royal welcome, a new life. "There is more joy," says Jesus earlier on in this chapter, "over one sinner who repents than over 99 who do not need to." That's the son who left and then returned to his father. Secondly, let's look at the son who stayed but then resented his father. The son who stayed but then resented his father. Now, apart from mentioning right at the beginning that this man had two sons, we don't hear about the older son until later on in the parable, when the younger son has returned. He's the dutiful son. Where do we find him? In a field. Not in a field of pigs, like the younger son. He's in the in his father's field. He's working. He never left home. He never demanded his share of the inheritance, like that despicable younger son. No, this older son, he'd be there to run the estate and look after his father when his father was too old. As far as everyone was concerned, he was the model son. But when his father starts to celebrate the younger son's return, we get a glimpse of what really is going on inside the heart of this older son. He's angry. He refuses to join in with the celebrations. And so his father comes out and starts to plead with his older son. And the older son just cannot understand why all this celebration. You see, the older son had never understood the father's pain when the younger son had left. And so he doesn't understand the father's joy when the younger son returns. He just didn't grasp how much the father loved them. It also becomes clear in what the older son says that he resented working for his father. Listen to what he says. Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. The older son had resented working for his father. He saw himself as a slave rather than as a son. All these years, I've slaved for you. And so he'd never asked his father for anything. He certainly wasn't going to be like the younger son, demanding his share of the inheritance. Of course, from his father's point of view, all that he had belonged to the older son. When he divided that his possessions up and gave the younger son his share, the implication was that everything else would belong to the older son. Though outwardly close to his father, in his heart the older son was distant and did not love his father. He saw his father more like a slave driver than a loving father. Notice how he talks about his father's orders. He failed to see that his father loved him. No wonder it was so shocking to the older son that his father should love that wasteful brother of his. You see, this is what happens when people do not see God's love for them. They resent obeying him. They see him more as a punishing judge than as a loving father. And they resent that people much worse than they've ever been can be accepted by God and loved by God. They struggle with the story of that thief on the cross who asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." They just can't understand that. Perhaps it's the older son that you are more like. You dutifully obey God. You don't ask much for him, not even for his forgiveness. But you don't really feel love in your heart for God. And you don't really know his love for you. But God would come and plead with you, just like the father came and pleaded with the older son. The father pleaded that that son would enter the joy of the family. Children's author, Patricia St. John, tells the story of a young man who returned home in need of money. This young man had got into debt. He was too ashamed, though, to ask his parents for help. Well, he came back home. They had a cup of tea together. Now, he knew where his dad kept the money. And when his mum and dad were in the garden, he found that money and he ran off. It was a large sum of money. 20 years passed and he never saw his parents in those 20 years. His life was now in ruins, but he couldn't forget his parents. That bond was still there. And he decided he would see if they were still there. He wasn't sure if they were even alive, let alone still living in the same little brick house where he'd grown up. But he posted them a letter, and he wrote this: "I can't expect that you will want to see me again. But if you do, please leave a white handkerchief in the old bedroom window, my old bedroom window." Well, he went on the appointed day. He slowly shuffled along the street to the house where he'd grown up. He dared hardly lift his eyes to see if there was a white handkerchief in his window. But when he did, he blinked, because the whole house was covered in white sheets. His parents had gone to neighbors and borrowed all the sheets they could find to cover the whole house, and the door was wide open. That's the love of God for older sons, for younger sons, for older daughters, for younger daughters. Will you return to your Father God? All your debts have been paid by another son who left his father's home. Jesus left not on bad terms with his father, but he left to do his father's will, to pay for our sins by giving his own life for us on the cross. He has paid those debts that we owe him. If you will return to your Father God, you will truly find joy. You will truly find forgiveness and a new life. Let's pray.